give you an example of what you're supposed to earnestly desire. Not sort of passively wait on. I'm just pointing out what the Bible says. And it says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, this is a cool word. Higher, it means greater, larger, louder. I want the louder gifts. You say, you got it, brother. Well, praise the Lord. I'm an American. Okay, by birth. Kiwi by the grace of God. But at the end of the day, the loud, what's the loudest gift you can have? What's the situation? What's the need that that person has in that situation? Well, that's what we're there for. And it's that earnest desire, that zealously setting one's heart for, to covet, to have deep concern or desire for. That should be the state of the Christian. But too often, we learn about the gifts the same way we learned high school algebra. You know what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, how many of you went to school? I mean, be honest here. Jeremy, don't vote in this, okay? How many of us went to high school to learn algebra? I mean, really thought, you know, I want to learn algebra. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, yeah, too. Okay, praise the Lord. You go, geek. Okay, anyway, the idea is that we went to school for the right reasons, to play sports, right? You know, that's all they put high school there for. I'm convinced that's what taxpayer dollars are for. And lunch, and to learn complex social interaction, to learn how to be a politician. But some people, you know, the reality, and they say, oh, if you don't learn algebra, you'll never be prime minister. Please. Okay, I think next time you happen to go by John Key. John Key, A squared plus B squared equals C. What is the, ask him the hypotenuse of a child. He won't know. You can easily be prime minister without algebra. If you don't know algebra, the space shuttle will crash. Did you guys get that one in New Zealand? Was there any application? That's the one they did. Hey, if you don't get this right, the space shuttle could crash. Anybody who's stupid enough to put me on the space shuttle project deserves to have it crash. You know what I'm saying? It's like, give me a break. But the reality is we learn high school algebra in a very specific way. Learn it for the test, and then what?
Forget it.
Okay? Let it swirl down. Okay? That's the way we tend to learn it. That it's like, oh, I all I need it for is to learn it for the test. Now, I had recently gone through an assessment for something where they actually asked me, like, high school algebra questions. It was so traumatic. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know when you're convinced, I haven't used algebra for 25 years, and you know when you're like, oh, I'll never have to use this again, and then suddenly it's like, bang, in your face. We have a triangle, triangle with a A, B, C triangle. The hypotenuse of A, B is equal to what? Jeremy? I'm like, it's about time for a B. You know, that's it. Yeah, it looks about right. Here's the problem, guys. The test that we're in is called life. So I can't sort of like learn about the gifts and kind of operate them in this one short, intense season of my life and then get my diploma. You know what I'm saying? And kind of sort of skate off that for the rest. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, and your kids, hey, I have a question on my algebra, Dad. And I'm like, I don't know what it is. Well, didn't you graduate from high school? I'm like, yeah. And you can go to your room, okay? it's like this idea of like, yeah, well, I got the piece of paper that I needed, but I didn't build off that knowledge base. That's not an earnest desire. I'm going to be quite honest with you. And if you're in high school right now, please just cover your ears, okay? I don't earnestly desire algebra. You know what I mean? I don't earnestly desire higher maths. It's just not in my heart. Because this test 2 weeks ago aside, I haven't used it for 25 years. My mom was wrong. Okay, you will use algebra almost every day. No, I won't. They'll have these things called smartphones by the time I would need to, and I can just call Jeremy. hypotenuse of A, B, yeah, the sine of 6 cosine. Yeah, perfect. Okay, boom, done, gone. Okay, no problem. I'll have enough smart friends by then, Mom. I won't need it. But the problem is that there's people around you who need you to not only display, but to be the power of Jesus in the world. And see, the problem with this scripture that I just read, it's a part of a thought that really begins at verse 27 that we'd probably actually have to go back to the very beginning of chapter 12 to get a little bit of the preface of it. But to get the whole context, we should probably start in Genesis 1:1. We won't today, but about verse 27 is a thought that's being given here that too often we read as a thought. As one thought. And as we do it, this verse that ends, this thought that ends in verse 31 with a really just an encouragement that you and I should earnestly desire. Do you know why the Bible tells you to earnestly desire something? Because there's a chance that you're not going to. So it's, this is something that you want. I had a conversation with a Bible college student maybe 3 years ago, and talking to this young gal who just was so eager for the Lord, I was talking to her, and she was asking me about some of the different gifts, and she knew that sort of I not only had a heart to operate in these gifts, but I had had some experience operating in them. And as I explained them to her, she just kind of sat there and then kind of shrugged her shoulders. She goes, I don't think I really need that. And I thought, chances are you ain't going to get it then. I mean, but that can be the mentality in the body of Christ sometimes, unfortunately. The reality is you do need it. If you want to be a Christian who has power. Well, I have the Bible. Praise the Lord. Guys, I love the Bible. I'm committed to the Word of God. But at the same time, I can tell you that those people out in Mudapara, they don't simply want to hear that God loves them. They want to see the love of God from you as the body of Christ. And then guess what? They can get love in many places. But they want to see the power to transform a life. And so this verse that is meant to push us into an encouragement to desire, to have a deep concern and to set one's heart on the spiritual gifts, often this section of Scripture stops many believers, many, from pursuing anything. Why? Back up to verse 27 of chapter 12. And I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. It says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church," and this is an interesting idea. Is it giving us rank or is it giving us order? Okay, I don't care. I have an opinion. Yeah, Bo, who said Bo? That's excellent insight. I kind of agree with that person, both. But it tells us he's appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing. And I just want you to understand there's a difference between gifts of healing and biblical healing. They're slightly different categories. The outcome's the same, but they're slightly different categories. Gifts of healing, helping, administration, various kinds of tongues. Now, here's the thing where we read that and we're like, wow, that's cool. But then we see this next little phrase, this next bit in the paragraph, and we kind of go, oh, well, there's my get out of jail free clause. He says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer to that is effectively, it's somewhat rhetorical. The answer is, well, no, not everybody does. And when we come to that conclusion, we say, okay, so I have zero expectation. Moving on. Okay, here, but we forget the next verse, verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Press in for them. Now, here's the thing. Are all prophets? No, your confidence is quite reassuring. Okay, are all prophets? No. Can all prophesy? Interesting. Turn to Acts chapter 2. That's going to be about a book and a half back. And I'm not going to go really too far beyond this today. This is the crux of what we're talking about. In Acts chapter 2, we've seen a building up where all of the Gospels have built up this man, Jesus, who is the Son of God, who came and died for our sins. And then he's ascended into heaven in the beginning of the book of Acts. And we're told that we should expect power to come from on high. That when this power has come, when we receive it, we will be witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when it talks about power, that word for power, it's the word dunamis, dynamic, dynamite, power. We've seen what it can do. But it's to be expected and received by the church. Then suddenly we come to the day of Pentecost. There 2,000 years ago, and there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And as it comes through, there's tongues of fire that appear on people's heads. And they began to speak in other tongues, as it says the Spirit gave them utterance. And as this takes place, something really cool happens. Peter stands up. Now, the last time we've seen Peter, he was basically denying Jesus. But now, inspired by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has come upon the church there, he stands up and he begins to speak by inspiration, and he brings biblical context for what's going on here. Now, I want you to track with me. As he stands up there, verse 14 of chapter 2, book of Acts, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose." So here's the thing. Some weird stuff goes on to the extent that for whatever reason, the secular Jewish people around them, maybe religious Jewish people, non-Christians around them, said, "Look, these people are drunk." He says, "Hey, man, these people aren't drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, but this is that which was uttered through the prophet Joel." So he immediately brings it in to this portion out of Joel chapter 2. And he says, Joel prophesied that in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. So basically he's saying, look, this is what's happening right now. What you're seeing is the beginning of this pouring out. And who's he going to pour it out on? How much flesh? All flesh. He said, "I'm going to pour it out on all flesh." And this is cool because, you know, a lot of times, because men for the last 2,000 years have been the ones who have sort of translated the Bible and commentated on it, we'd be like, all flesh, men. It's like it's on the men, you know, because that's how God rolls. No! It's not. Notice what it says in the very next part. It says, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, that male and female, your young men shall see vision, your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So here's the thing. He's saying, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and they're going to prophesy. Now think back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we were. Are all prophets? No, but can all prophesy? So you need to appreciate what's going on here. As we reach out to desire the spiritual gifts, we could just say, you know, well, I'm not a prophet. Oh, you're right, you might not be. But you can prophesy. It goes on and it talks about what's going on here. He says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned." It goes on and he talks about all these things. Go down to verse 22. He says, "A man attested to God with mighty works and wonders and signs." And he talks about what's going to take place here in this season that started after Jesus' ascension called the last days. And so as we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to jump you around any more than that today, but I need you to see that. I might jump you around a little bit more. But he's saying, are all prophets? No, but all can prophesy. See, what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is he's talking about public office ministries, not power that's available to the whole body of Christ. Mark chapter 16 is another portion of Scripture that talks about what's going to happen to those who are, and you don't need to turn there, I'm just going to read it to you. And in Mark chapter 16, we see another description of what's going to happen to believers as the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Jesus, giving this great commission in Mark chapter 16, says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. So these are the signs that are going to come to people who believe. That's the categorization. It's not multiple categories of Christians. Oh, maybe you've gone pro, you know, or maybe you're still, you know, sort of a pro-am, or maybe you're just sort of ITM Cup, you know what I mean, a really good high school guy, whatever. It's like the idea is, it's like this is actually going to follow everyone who believes. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is the power. It has nothing to do with position. This is the power that's available to believers. But the reality is alongside, but apart from the power that's available to all believers, there are positions. Oh, these positions of being an apostle. Are all apostles? No. But all can lead. Are all prophets? No, but all can prophesy. Are all teachers? No, but all can teach. Do all work miracles? No, but all can do the miraculous. Speaking in tongues and seeing people healed, definitely, you know, handling deadly serpents falls into the miraculous category, as far as I'm concerned. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. There is an evangelistic gift of healing that operates in some of the offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, that is very specific. But all Christians can lay hands on the sick, and it says they will recover. Just throwing out Scripture. Do all speak with tongues? No. And the reality is all don't speak in tongues in a office public ministry setting. It is not necessarily the calling of each one of us in here to speak out in tongues for the congregation. But can all receive the encouragement, personal gift of speaking in tongues? We've got some flyers in the back that talk about this, that give a little bit of a breakdown as to what's going on here. So when we put this paragraph, when we put this thought into context, we can begin to understand that we should have expectation. Oh, some of us will fall into various offices. We have several prophets. There's a real strength of prophecy in New Zealand. I met up with a guy who's just sort of a kamatua within the church in New Zealand this last week, an older fella, just a neat guy who's had so much experience in the body, and we were talking about callings and offices, and he made the point that New Zealand has a tremendous strong, you know, tremendous strength in prophecy. Now, here's the thing. This fellowship in particular, if you want to talk bang for the buck, has a massive strength in prophecy. Not all of us are prophets by office. We have a few. Well, Scott, what's the difference? I've heard it explained like this. When someone prophesies, that their prophecy is a gift to the body, to the people who are hearing it. But when someone is a prophet, that individual themselves is the gift. And it's just slightly different. So, as we understand that there is the place of power that's offered to the body, but also the positions that are specific and given as the Spirit will to whom the Spirit will, suddenly we can still understand that I can desire earnestly the louder gifts. I can desire earnestly those gifts that are larger, those gifts that are greater. And we're going to go through those, the ones that we're going to talk about with these, what we call manifestation gifts at the beginning of this chapter. There are going to be things like the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith. Katrina's going to talk to us about healing, the working of miracles. Leonie's going to chat about prophecy, teach us about that. The discerning of spirits. Barbara's going to take us through that. Tongues with interpretation. Jeremy's going to kind of talk to us about that. And so we're just going to sort of begin to get some understanding around what these things are. Now, many of us heard about these things. We're familiar with them. But guys, understand we're doing this in such a way that there's going to be an expectation. Amen? I want us to understand, man, it's that idea of normalizing this within the church. For far too long, what has been normal within the church is effectively to sit back and watch. That's what people have done. They say, well, we'll come and watch the gifted people. Instead of understanding that basically we're here to use our gifts. There is such a need. The area of operation that God has given me is not the entire world. It's Rotorua. So my greatest concern is not the entire world. I know God to love the world, that's his job. Okay, my job is to love Rotorua. And I trust that that's going to overlap with different brothers and sisters throughout the world that God's purposes and plans are taken care of. But I can tell you guys, there's need in this community for people to not only understand that they're loved, but see that they're loved by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's the thing. What we're going to do is we're going to have an activation every week. Do we want to bring the kids in, Jeb? Yeah, if you want to do that'd be cool. So what we're going to do is we're going just sort of get into a couple, just big groups maybe, you know, just maybe in about four or five different groups, just come together, and we're just going to pray for each other. What? I didn't come to church to actually be part of the body of Christ. Okay, that's cool. No problem. All right, we just want to just get around some people, and there's going to be some of you who maybe have the gift of gab. I don't know if that's in here. You know, but it's like, you know, that you can just sort of take over. And we're just going to, so quickly, let's just sort of move around a little bit. You know, you might actually have to get up. I know you don't even come here to get out of your seat. I know, this is so awkward. But we want to see activation of the gifts. We, you know, if we can't do it in here, it's going to be very, you're going to trust me, it's going to be very difficult to do it out there. Paul, will you go lock the door? I don't want anybody making a run for it. Okay. No, so quick, yeah. Quick, just hop up real quick. Just hop up real quick. There you go. Just get into it. Just a few groups. I know it's going to be, you know, it's going to be weird. Maybe some of you leaders don't double up. Some of you leaders just take a look around as to places that there might need to be a bit of. Oh, well, the kids are eating sandwiches, so they're not going to join us today. I might just go to our minister. So look, I just want you to just ask just a few things. If there's things that you can pray for folks, if there's folks who just need maybe some healing, ask them. If there's folks who maybe just need a word from the Lord, there's going to be some of you with just prophetic gifts and whatnot that can minister in those situations. If there's some who just need prayer for something, just speak up. Get prayed for. Allow the Lord to just begin to, actually, Rob, I have something for you. Allow the Lord to begin to minister. So look, just real quick, just jump in, start getting some prayer requests, just start chatting with each other, and just start finding some needs and going for it. Amen.